Oh, you're already seated. All right. Genesis chapter 6. I'm reading from verse 9 to 22. It's a long passage. Genesis 6. Thank you. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. You shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Speaking this morning on the subject, your assignment will take you high. Your assignment will take you high. Your assignment will take you high. Each one of us have been blessed with unique and divine giftings. And all these giftings have been packaged together by God and deposited in each one of us for unique divine achievements and assignments. In fact, Proverbs says it beautifully. Proverbs 18. Verse 16 or 16, verse 18, one of them. It says, "A man's gift will make room for him." I believe it's 16, 18, or 18, 16, 18, 16, thank you. "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." This is your year of new heights. And the month of January, I want to speak to you on new heights. I'm praying, God, that I just take time to teach. I try not to preach, but teach. Just share with you, have a conversation with you, so that you will move higher. Something about you must move to a new level this year. Something in you must rise to a new level. In fact, I want you to refuse to be the same. Refuse to be in the same place. Just refuse it. Make it so clear that you are not going to be in the same place a year from now. You're not going to be in the same station. You're not going to speak the same way. You're not going to handle the same type of finances. You're not going to do the same type of ministry. Something about you must go higher. The anointing upon your life must increase. Your scope of influence must increase. Your business must expand. Your family must get better. The level of wisdom God has given you must increase. The revelation you have must increase. Now, if we're going to increase, God gave this great man, Noah, through his life, insights that will help us do it. The secret is this. You and I must learn to walk with God. How can a man walk with God? A human being. How can you walk with God? Verse 9 is very clear. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now, I want you to do something for me. I know you all remember your names. I want you to mention your own name and say to yourself, Ralph is walking with God. It's a confession I want you to make. All right? Are we all ready?
Yes.
Okay, now let's go. 1, 2, 3, go.
Yes.
Rav Dati is walking with God. Noah walked with God. How can two walk together? Unless they be agreed. So there was something in Noah that connected with the heart of God. And there was something in the heart of God that connected with Noah. There was an agreement. Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together unless they be agreed? Where the place of power is the place of agreement. The place of agreement is the place of power. When there's agreement, if any two or three shall agree as touching anything, God walks with no one unless there is an agreement between you and him. So there was something in Noah that connected with the heart of God. And something in the heart of God that connected with Noah. Now, God is already high. If you're going to walk with God, you're only going to go high. He's high and lifted high. And a year of new heights. You want to walk with God because God will take you high. He's seated on the throne, high above all. He will lift you from where you are and bring you high. A man's gift makes room for him. So, there's a gift God has put in you. The first thing I want to say is you want to walk with God. And number two, pay attention to the giftings God has put in you. Because a man's gift, a woman's gift, makes room for him and brings him before kings. There's a gift in you that will elevate you. This year, there's a gift God has already deposited in you. He put it in you from the time you were born. And some of them have been uncovered. Some have not been uncovered yet. Refuse to go back to heaven with gifts in you that have yet to be used. There are gifts God put in you. And I'm going to challenge you after today's service. That you're going to go home today, this afternoon, after eating your fufu, sit down, take a stock of the gifts you have. Dig deeper. Ask yourself tough questions. What do I like the best? What things do I hate? How can I do this? How come I do this? How come I don't do this? How come I like that? There are some gifts buried on the inside of you that God put there. Those gifts are to pay your bills in life. Those gifts are to explode you. See, there are talents that are hidden. They are there. And sometimes you need a tough mentor, a tough taskmaster who will be hard on you to bring out that gifting in you. And that taskmaster is yourself. You need to be hard on yourself to bring those giftings on the inside of you. There is a writer. There's a book that must be written that you don't want to write. Because every time you want to write, you are busy. You don't have time. But if you turn off that TV, you can write that book. There's a song you need to write. And every time that song is coming, you are busy chatting on the phone. If you turn off that phone, you can write that song. There's a book you need to read. And every time you pick it, you feel like sleeping. If you discipline yourself, you read that book and gain some knowledge God wants you to get to move you to the next level. There's a course God wants you to take. And every time you look at the math content, you run away. But if you sit down and practice the mathematics, you overcome it and get to where God wants you to take. A man's gift will make room for him. God never created a waste. Nobody here is a waste. Please hear me carefully. I'm speaking to you from my heart. God never created a waste. Nobody is a waste. Nobody. Everyone here, you've been blessed by God, gifted by God to make your way through life and be fruitful and multiply. God has already put stuff in you that are meant to push you up in life. By his grace and by the word of his power, we will uncover these gifts and bring them to the fore and push you to where you belong. Here, God picks a man called Noah. I am amazed that God will say in his word, and Noah walked with God. A man walking with God. May the Lord help each of us. This year, make it a priority to walk with God. It's very simple. Talk to him daily. Let him talk to you daily. Obey him daily. Let him hear your voice daily. Pick the heartbeat of God. You know, if I'm going to walk with you, the only way you and I can enjoy our relationship is when you know what I like, and I know what you like, and you know how to meet that need at a particular time. So you create a need of you in my life. Are you getting me? So when you are not there, then I need you. Am I making sense, sir? So David had this to say, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. For unto thee will I cry, my King and my God. Psalm 5. He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. The more I need you, because you've made me live in such a way that without you, I can't live. So you've created room in my life for you. So I have to look for you. Every time I need someone to do something, that you are the best person, I have to come look for you. And that is how the giftings of God in our lives are supposed to do. We are so supernaturally and individually gifted that your gift is to make room for you. That is the room the Bible is talking about. Not physical room, more than that. Room where you are needed. There's a gifting in you. God put it there. Can I see you raise your hand and say, Father, stir up in me every latent gift, every hidden gift, every hidden gift, every overlooked gift that you have put in my life for this generation. Stir it in Jesus' name. May I do new and mighty things for you and move to new heights in Jesus' name. Amen. A man's gift will bring him to before kings. In fact, I've been yearning just to get here to share this word with you. I'm praying that God will stir something in your heart to wake up. There's a gifting God has put on the inside of you. That gifting must make room for you. That gifting will cause you to be needed. And when you are needed, you know what goes with it? Reward. Money is a reward. Honor is a reward. Appreciation is a reward. A reward for fulfilling a need. So God has created you to be needed. You know what hopelessness is? When you can't find your niche of need, then you feel that you are so loaded, but you are not delivering. So you become hopeless. So then you walk about, and the earth is such that everyone who must live on earth, you must be hopeful. So when you become hopeless, earth vomits you out, so you die. That's why when you find people commit suicide, most of the time they tell you, because I have no hope, hopeless. When you become hopeless, you can't survive on earth. On earth, you must survive with purpose. In fact, can I just shock you a little bit? I know I'm digressing, but I'll come back. When you read the Genesis account of creation, in the beginning God made heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. The word void there is very interesting. In the Hebrew, it literally means the earth was without purpose. It was without form and was without purpose. So earth itself is created on purpose. So when you don't have a purpose, you don't fit here. So everyone God put on earth, he gave you a purpose, because the earth has the foundation of purpose. So you are a purpose-driven man. That is why that great book written by Rick Warren is still the bestseller beyond the Bible around the world, because it connects with human. Everyone on earth feels that there's a purpose I need to discover. So everybody's looking for it. So we want to read it to find out. Because you are purpose-built, purpose-born, purpose-made. You are a purpose-driven person. That is why the giftings God has put in you will make room for you. Honey, you are not a waste. Refuse to commit suicide. Refuse to die until you have done all that God has put in you to do. There are certain people on this planet Earth who need you. You are an answer to somebody. Somebody needs you on this earth. Not just your wife, not just your husband, not just your children. Beyond that, you were created for the earth. You are not a local hero. You are an international person. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
No, big and louder, amen. You are not just meant for Ottawa. No, just don't be a local hero. You are an international person. You were created to connect to the nations. You were created to connect. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, you know what? I even sanctified you before you came out of your mother's womb. And I ordained you, what? A prophet to who? If it's the same God, what he said to Jeremiah, he's also saying to you. Can I hear somebody say amen? Glory to God. You are created for the nations. Refuse to be local. No, say it to me. Say, I refuse it. To be limited. To be localized. To be put down. To be boxed in. I'm asking you to prophesy over your life. Say, I refuse it. To be limited. To be hindered. To be just put in a box. I'm coming out of that box. In my year of new heights, I'm reaching my destiny. Something must happen. God looks for Noah. And watch this. Watch this. God had a need. God wanted to preserve the human seed. He also wanted to preserve the animal seed. Now, why? Because there was too much evil. He wanted to clean it and start afresh. But seed is very important. Every time you have a choice between the seed and the fruit, take the seed. The seed will give you the fruit. In life, we like the fruit because the fruit is very appealing. The seed is not too appealing. But go for the seed. Okay, you'll catch it another time when you wake up. So God was looking for the seed of humanity to be preserved, and the seed of the animal kingdom to be preserved. Now, God had a need. And God looks around and he says, there's only one man I know I can trust with that need. There's a vision, there's an assignment I have. But only Noah can fulfill that assignment. So God calls Noah. Noah, I'm walking with you. You know I have a need. You've walked with me to the extent that now when I need something, I know who to go to. May God do so for you. May you walk with God in such a way that God will say, like Abraham, he said, I know Abraham, and I know he will command his children after me. May God so help us. You know, it's been my ardent prayer this morning that God help me to be that person you can rest and rely on when you have an assignment to be done. I want to preserve human beings, but God will say, I can trust Noah. May the Lord trust you. May the Lord be able to trust you and I. May he be able to trust TLC with a vision to do what he's called us to do. May God trust us. He said, Noah, I can trust you. I want to destroy the whole earth, but I can trust you. Preserve human beings for me. Not only that, preserve all the animals for me. Now, that's a huge task. Can you imagine catching two lions, one lion, one lioness, bringing them to an ark? See, when we think about Noah, we don't think about the fact that he had to go get two tigers. One tiger, one tiger. How do you say, tigress? Okay, wonderful. My teacher didn't come to school that day. Think of Noah combing around the forest, looking for one bear, one he bear, one she bear. I don't know what it's called. Confession is good for the soul. I don't know what this is called. But can you think of Noah walking around the bush looking for one each of the animal species? And yet that was the assignment God gave him today. I'll take my time and I'll go through it. I don't want to rush ahead of myself. Do you know God has preserved you to preserve? There's something God wants you to do. He has blessed you to be a blessing. He has called you to call others. God has touched you to touch others. Every time you refuse to do what God has called you to do, you feel down. Anytime you feel down, it's because there's an assignment you have ignored. You are not supposed to feel down. In fact, you can't feel down. Life is too busy. Sometimes I'm asking for 30 hours in a day. I'm just too busy. I can't even find time to sleep. And that's the honest truth. And so when you have enough time on your hands and you become depressed, it means there's an instruction you have ignored. Because 24 hours that God gave you should be enough or not even enough to do all the assignments God gave you. Every day you must go to bed very tired. So when you can't sleep, means you are not tired enough. When you're tired, you will sleep. You know, you sleep on the bus, on the plane when you are tired. You sleep anywhere and actually snore because you are tired. God calls Noah. Noah, I want you to preserve this seed for me. I want you to do something for me. I want you to preserve the human race. Verse 18. He says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. There were eight people. Noah, his wife, he had three sons. Three sons had three wives. So eight people were preserved, plus two each of the animal species. Verse 19, of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. So that was Noah's assignment. Keep for me the human race, the human seed, and keep for me the animal seed. I'm going to destroy everything else. But after I've destroyed Noah, I will depend on you to be able to start life on earth again. May God be able to depend on us. And so, the Bible says, thus Noah did, verse 22, according to all that God commanded him to do. What did God command Noah to do? He said, Noah, verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. I did some research to look into the specs of the ark. Very interesting. The length of the ark is supposed to be 450 feet. By the breadth, 75 feet, and the height, 45 feet. That's how big the ark was. According to research that I did, the ark that Noah built would have the capacity to keep 500 railroad stock cars. See, when the trains are coming, 500 of them will fit into the ark that Noah built. God gave him specific instructions. He said, build it in such a way, make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. Every time God gives you an assignment, please pay attention for the how to make it. It's not just hearing. God says, do the prayer and then run away. No. Go back to him and say, Lord, how? God gave me an assignment. He said, I want you to take the revelation knowledge I've given you, Rav Darte. Take that knowledge. I want you to teach the word in such a way that when my people hear it, by the power of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, their minds will be renewed. When their minds are renewed, a renewed mind leads to a transformed life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. So the mind is renewed, the life is transformed. And when the life is transformed, then you make an impact wherever you go. That was the assignment God gave me. He said, this is what you shall do for the rest of your life. So we are not just doing a TLC. No, we are doing a transforming life. I have a divine assignment. That is why I take the preaching of the word so seriously. No kakayo business. No hula hula business. No, you got to teach it. You either have it or you don't have it, or get out of here. And the word has preeminence in this ministry because that's my assignment. The word will heal you. The word will change you. The word will make you rich. The word will elevate you. The word will take you to where you belong. A sister called me last Thursday. I was in Toronto. Friday. We're in Toronto. She called me. She couldn't contain her joy. Pastor Ralph, I have to tell you this before Sunday. He said, I came to church last Sunday, heard the word. I didn't have a job. Between Sunday and Friday, I got a job as a manager in the government. She said, I just finished my master's. And I was just hired permanently straight away. He said, I don't even know how it happened. Monday I had an interview, Tuesday I had an interview, Wednesday I had an interview, Thursday I had the offer, I start work tomorrow, Monday. That's our job. To teach until the word transforms your thinking. I know you believe you have to go through competition, wonderful, believe that. But some can also believe that with God, all things are possible. He makes all things beautiful in this time. Now, God can turn things around for you. What assignment has God given you? Go to him and ask him how to. When he gave Noah the assignment, this year, refuse to be the same. You're going to go higher. You need to ask divine instructions from divine source. He said to Noah, Noah, you will build it this way, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Build it with divisions in there. Make sure there's a window. Very specific. God is very specific. That is why when you see how by God's will we do ministry here, we do ministry according to order because we hear from God. We do it by divine order. We don't do things because we feel like doing it. No. Put this here. Put that there. Put this there. Right this way. That's how God leads us. It's not my work. It is his work. I'm only fulfilling a divine assignment. And that's how you do it. May you do all that God has called you to do. God asked Noah to build an ark. You know, the ark, it's a type of the church today. He said, Noah, build me an ark. The church must be built according to divine order. He said it must be strong and make it waterproof. He said cover it inside and outside with pitch so that no water will come in there. Please pay attention to the instructions God gives you. Pay attention. This year, those instructions will take you to your new level. They may look very small, but still follow them. Noah could have said, oh God, you know, I'm just going to build this ark, but I have a new way of doing it, a new technology. You don't put pitch, you put something else. And then at the end of the day, water will come in there, the ark will sink, and all that God wants to preserve will not be preserved. Please pay close attention to divine order and divine details. That is one of your keys to your next level. God wants to do something new in you. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my spirit that God wants to take you to a new height. Not just new heights because new is new heights. No, because he wants you to fulfill destiny. He wants you to use all the giftings and abilities he's put on the inside of you. That's number one. Build the ark according to divine order. The church must be built by divine order. Number two, he said, chapter 6 verse 21, said, make sure you fill the ark with food so there's supplies for everybody. God who has sent you on an assignment will also supply your need. Do not worry about your supply because God is your source. Too many people worry about what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? God will take care of you. He takes care of his own when they are on divine assignment. As long as you obey him in the area of you making sure there is food in his house, he will make sure there's always food in your house. He said, Noah, when you build the ark, after you brought in your family, bring in two of every kind of animals. It's talking about diversity. The church must be built on diversity. Everybody is welcome. The tall is welcome. The short is welcome. The rich is welcome. The poor is welcome. The prostitute is welcome. The drug addict is welcome. The white is welcome. The black is welcome. Everybody is welcome to the house of God. The way God wants us to build this work is to make room for diversity. The African is welcome. The non-African is welcome. Those of us from Sukula are welcome. Those of you from Buckingham Palace, you're also welcome. Wherever you come from, you are welcome. There's room for everybody. Make room for everybody. Number four, building the ark is always a challenge. The assignment God has given you will be challenging. If you've gotten to the point where you have no challenge in life, go back to God and say, God, I think I missed my assignment or I've forgotten what it is. Because you must be challenged. Can you think of Noah building an ark this big, 450 feet wide, long and 75 feet and 45 feet, just with him and his three sons? Did you think of the fact that Noah would need carpenters? Maybe God looked at Noah. I don't know. Maybe Noah had carpentry skills. Or maybe he didn't. We don't know. But whether he did or not, you know, Noah alone couldn't have built that thing. He would need help. The assignment God has given you, you need help. You alone can't do it. And somehow, Noah will have to find help from somewhere. Sometimes you will need to look outside of you, outside of your circumference and say, Lord, I need help to fulfill this assignment. You need to help me. But the best place to look up to is when I lift up my eyes onto the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Look up to the Lord for help. But the work God wants you to do, you can't do it alone. I can't do this great work alone. I can't do it. I cannot do it. You know, I cannot preach here this morning and preach at Calgary this morning at the same time. I can't do it. Even if I want to fly, it will take me 4 hours to get there. By the time I get there, the service will be over. So one person can do it. I have a particular part to play in this assignment. I carry the vision. I am the one God called. I'm the one God gave the vision to. I'm the one he gave the plan to. My job is to transmit it to you. Let you see what I see. Let you hear what I hear. Let you know what I know so you can run with it as well. Noah had to now call people, whether his 3 sons or more, we don't know. But he had to call people and say, I am building an ark. It's going to be this big. Some could say, oh, that type of ark is too big. Why don't you make it small? He said, I heard divine instructions. Amen? Amen? When you go to London, build it according to divine order. Build it like you've seen it. Do it like you've seen it. Pastor George just had one leadership meeting yesterday, and when he was done, a couple of the leaders were on the phone telling me, Pastor Ralph, it was like you talking. We heard your voice through. This is like, so, I said, okay. He's doing it as I will do it. That's the way it must be. He said, it just sounded like you talking. And he said, indeed, the guy has been trained by you. I said, that's the way it must be. Ask God for help, because you can't build it alone. You cannot build it alone. Now you understand why you need to sit down and hear the vision and hear the word from this house. Catch the spirit, catch the anointing before we release you to go. Else when you go, you will be saying something that I have not said. You'll be preaching the word, but that's not what I said. And when you speak, they won't say, Pastor Rav is sounding like you. It's going to be another ark, but there's only one ark we are building. Indeed, the body of Christ is the ark. Jesus is the ark. He brought us in the ark to preserve us from the rain that is coming. A judgment day is coming. We're preserved in Christ. But you know, after all the rain, God himself opened and asked Noah to open the doors, and now they were released to go out to be fruitful and multiply. In the ark, we are preserved. When we are brought out of the ark, we are fruitful and multiplying. The church is very unique. The church occupies both roles. We are preserved in Christ, and yet we are also out there in the world being fruitful and multiplying. We're doing the two at the same time. In Christ, we are preserved. But we go out the world to preach the gospel to all creation. And that's what we are doing. The ark you are building, the assignment God has given you, will be challenging. Demons will fight you. People will laugh at you. Can you imagine how many people laughed at Noah? Some will actually come and say, Noah, good morning, Noah. What do you think you are doing? He said, I'm building an ark. Who told you to build the ark? God. God, Noah, you lost it. Noah. And I'm sure Noah will be telling them, the rains are coming, oh, all of you, get ready. You can come in the ark. Which rain, Noah? And can you imagine the newspaper that day, Ottawa Citizen, front page, Noah gone cuckoo. Building an ark that can never be used. And his reason is that some rains are coming. Can you imagine how many journalists will be coming for interviewing? It will be on Facebook, social media will carry it. Noah gone cuckoo. Building an ark that can never be used. There are things God will ask you to do. Don't expect everybody to understand you. Sometimes you won't even understand yourself. I don't think every day of Noah's life, while he was building the ark, there were no moments where he actually doubted. He's human. I mean, people, Noah, are you sure? Now think of the finances he used to buy the wood, to buy the nails. Building an ark like that, you know how expensive it would be? I'm sure Mrs. Noah will be saying, "Oga, you are finishing our bank account. This voice you heard, only you heard. I don't know who else heard it. Are you sure you heard it? Did you say God say we must start transforming life center? Are you sure?" It's not everything God will ask you to do that everybody will say, "Hosanna, Hosanna." No, did you know there are some people, they are not able to do what God has called them to do in life, not because they don't know it, but because they are afraid of being ridiculed. People laughing at them. You know the best thing to do? Laugh at yourself. When you laugh at yourself, when somebody laughs at you, it doesn't matter. You know, that's why I say he bear and she bear, because I don't know, I laugh at myself, so when you laugh at me, it doesn't matter. A lot of people are afraid, and I feel this very strongly in my heart. A lot of people are afraid to do the assignment God gave them, but it is that assignment that will bring you to new heights, because the assignment requires your giftings, and a man's giftings will make room for him and bring him before kings. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and not mere men. Your diligence to the assignment God has given you will bring you before kings. You'll be promoted, you'll be honored, you'll be lifted. But you don't have to be afraid. People will laugh at you. That's okay. One day they will laugh with you. People will doubt you. That's okay. They even doubted Jesus. Do you know what they said? "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Who does he think he is? Jesus? Who? Jesus? Who? Savior? Saving who? Who saving? The carpenter's a carpenter, Joseph. Nazareth, in that corner, Nazareth, 2nd and 1st Street, that corner, the carpenter there, that's his son. When did he transform to become a savior?" You know, there are certain things God will ask you to do. You yourself, sometimes you doubt because you are human. But I'm here to tell you, it is your assignment that will bring you before kings, that will make room for you. It is the fulfillment of that assignment. It is that will bring you to new heights. It's you moving to your next level. It's you challenging yourself. It's you telling yourself, "Listen, I want to pray more than I pray. So if I need to wake up at 2, wake yourself up at 2. Whatever it takes, set the alarm, put the alarm right on your ears. Wait, whatever it takes, do it." You say, "I need to read one book a month." Take that book and read it. Turn off the telephone. Forget Facebook. They will always be waiting for you. Read the book. Gain that knowledge. If there's a program, a course you need to take, don't procrastinate. Don't push it aside. This year, you must reach your new heights. And all I'm telling you is this. God has trusted you enough. Because you walk with him, he's trusted you to say, "There is an assignment I want you to do for me." He trusted Noah, and I know he trusts you because you are born of Christ. There is something he wants you to do. Those children God has given you, take care of them. They are your assignment. They are not a bother. They are your assignment. They will be in your house for a few years. By 25, they are getting jittery. They want to go. 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 By 30, they are all gone. But it's not just the living that matters. What did you put in them before they checked out? And while they are there, it's part of your assignment to mold the character of Christ in them. Teach them Christ. Not just by talking, by living it. Teach them excellence. By the time they leave your home, let them be able to say, "I can reproduce what I've seen," and you will not be ashamed. There's an assignment God has given you. God has trusted you enough. That business God has put in your hands. God wants you to explore and explode and move that business to the level where you can finance his kingdom and kingdom work. Do it with diligence. Put your best in it every day. Work like no man's business. Just work and work. That ministry God has given you, do it. It's your assignment. And I'm happy to tell you, of all the assignments, that's the one that carries heavy rewards because it's spiritual. Glory to God. God will make sure. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you've ministered to him and continue to minister. Build it according to divine order. And you know one thing that amazes me as I begin to wind up? Genesis 7 verse 16. He says, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. So they've all gone into the ark. So think of it. Everybody's entered into the ark. Now who is going to go and close the door? Divine hand. Divine hand. God himself. The Lord came and shut him in. After you've built the ark, after you've done what you can do as a human being, God will do the rest you cannot do. He himself will come in and shut you in. He will protect you. He will preserve you. Do you know if God didn't shut Noah and the family and the animals in, all the work Noah did would be wasted? Trust divine hand to do what you cannot do. Trust God. There's that element where after you've done all you can, you got to stand and say, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. After you've done everything, after you've studied, leave the rest to God. But you have to study. You just can't get up and say, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, son of the cross, let me pass the exam. It doesn't work that way. There is seed time and harvest time. You got to sit down, put the knowledge from the book inside your head. Whatever it takes, make sure you understand it. Find the way your mind receives information. We all receive it differently. Some people can just look at it, prap, it's stuck. If you are like me, you don't have that. Don't say, listen, don't call yourself photographic memory. You don't have it, you don't have it. I don't have it too. So let's sit down. Let's just study. Let's do the calculations. Let's get the skills inside. Make sure your mind receives that information. Nobody is dumb. Everybody is gifted. We just have not discovered how your mind receives information and stores them. Some people, a lecturer can stand there and lecture and they hear everything. Some people, they must see it. You must demonstrate it. Doesn't mean you are dumb. It just means that your mind receives information differently. So find out how your mind receives information. Those are the best students. Calibrate your study habits along those ways. Some people will have to write out everything they read in order for it to stick. Others will just read it, it sticks. Others will just see it, it sticks. Everybody's different. Find out who you are. Study according to how you are made up, according to your composition. After you've done it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. God will come and he will shut you in. God sent us to do TLC. I didn't start with one dime. Nobody gave me $1. I had no money, nothing. I had a divine instruction. No sponsor, nothing. I stepped out with my credit card and went to the hotel and gave them my own credit card. And I said, book the hall. That's how we started. But God came down and shut us in. Do what God says do. He will come in and do the other part you cannot do. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? There is an assignment that will take you to your next level. And please wake up to it. Sometimes you will have to wake up in the middle of the night. Please hear me. I need to say it before I close. Sometimes you have to wake up in the middle of the night, sit down and take iPad, iPhone, paper, pen, write Things that you are thinking through, ideas, write them down. Don't just say, oh, my head. Your head is not for storage. God gave you a great mind. It's for creativity, not for storage. Use machine to store information. Use your head to create. Write them down. Sometimes you know that you get some ideas, and because of sleep, oh, I'll do it later. You sleep, by the time you wake up, the ideas are gone. And those ideas could have taken you somewhere. Listen, wake up. Just push yourself off the bed. And one last advice. Don't love sleep too much. There's more sleep after death if Jesus tarries. Our house master used to tell us that all the time, and I loved him for that. Even though he was a bit mean, but I love him for that statement. He said, hey, you guys, get up and study. You love sleeping. There's more sleep after death. So I heard it from him, Mr. Tetevi. I don't even know where he is now, but Mr. Tetevi would say, hey, there's more sleep after death. Guys, get up and study. Lazy boys. You know. Don't love sleep too much. Don't. No. Don't. I know somebody told you, oh, you have to sleep 8 hours every day. And some of you, you believe it like a dogma. If you don't get 8 hours, it's like hell broke loose. Somebody said that to you. But do you know the world's richest people? They work 16, 18 hours a day. Now, how can you work that many hours still have 8 hours of sleep? There's a book I read, and I was shocked to know that Bill Gates works 16 hours every day, and he's probably one of the world's richest people. He still works 16 hours every day. Some of us, with $1 million, will spread it on the ground, sleep on it, and retire. You know, some of you have heard the story of me going to raise funds for a church. They asked me to come and raise funds to buy a new church building. So my first question, I asked them, okay, if right now you were to be given $1 million, what will you do? I was expecting somebody to say, well, I'll give some to help buy the church. Nobody said that. First person said, I will go to Ghana. I'll move to Ghana immediately. $1 million. But the most amusing answer, he said, I'll spread the money on the ground and I will sleep on it. You know, after they gave all the answers, I said to them, that's why none of you will get it. Because I just realized $1 million will make you lose your mind. Some of you will even change your phone number. Pastor can't call you again. $1 million, that this man is going to call me to ask for an offering. Forget it. Change the number. $1 million. Oga, I'm out of here. $1 million. $1 million is nothing. It's only one with six zeros. That's all. It's just $1 times $1 million. That's all it is. It's nothing. You see, change your thinking. It's nothing. It's just $1. $1 million times. That's all. And you know that even if you make $40,000 a year, when you work for 20, you work for 25 years, you'd have handled $1 million. That's all. That's all. That's all. So all of us are billionaires. Before you retire, you'd have handled at least $1 million. If you make 100,000, you work for 10 years, you've handled $1 million. 50,000, work for 20 years, you've handled $1 million. And I know all of you make more than 50,000. Don't look at me with strange faces. Don't look at me like, Pastor, how did you get that? No. So, don't magnify $1 million. It's nothing. God is taking you to new heights. You got to get to the point where you say to God, God, whatever assignment you have for me, you can trust me with it. Just as you trusted Noah, trust me with it. I'll be tired. I'll be worn out. It will cost me. People will laugh at me. Building the ark won't be funny. It won't be easy, but you can trust me with that assignment. Going to catch a lion, a lioness, a chimpanzee, a tiger, a tigress, bringing all these animals in won't be that easy, but you can trust me. Bringing diversity in the church won't be that easy because Congolese want you to be very Congolese.
And Ghanaians want you to call it a Ghanaian church. And Nigerians want to say, hey, we are Nigerians. Everybody, but bring the diversity in. Love everybody. Be who you are. God will do it. Your assignment will demand some challenges, and you got to be ready for it. I'm preparing you for 2013. Get ready to live the best time of your life. Do that new business. Take that new program. Do what God has called you to do. Get yourself ready for that challenge. Build that ministry and build that ark. The Lord bless you. Shall we please stand on our own? What assignment has God given you? What work has He called you to do? If you don't know, be honest enough to say, God, I don't know. Please speak to me. Please teach me. Let me know. What ministry has He called you to do? What is the work He's given you to do? Here at TLC, we have one assignment. You teach the word until minds are renewed and lives are transformed. And until those lives are making an impact. So we keep building the ark. We build one in Toronto, build one in Kenya, and build one in... We just started a church in Uganda, Kampala. See, Pastor Harris' hometown. She didn't even take one to my hometown. Took one to her hometown. And just at the December 1st, right? First week of December. And after 4 weeks, the pastor went all by himself. Left Kenya, went to Uganda. One person. Didn't have anybody. In 4 weeks, they're already numbering 29 people. Just one. He started one person. One. He's busy bugging us. He needs money to buy more chairs and get the bigger room. I said, Oga, let your growth slow down, Kakara. But the man is, he's just on a mission. And I love such people. Once you find your assignment, give it your best and do it all. Let God know that you mean business with it. Life will never be boring. You will not be looking forward to retirement. Forget it. I will preach till Jesus comes, or preach after I finish preaching, I will turn around, sit down and go to heaven when I'm 106, eh? Okay, 106. The reason why I paused is I discovered Noah lived to 120. Who lived to 120? Moses. So I'm debating. By 120, I'll be too old. I can't enjoy tea and sugar. So I think 106 is fine. So shall my strength be. Amen. Okay, so 120. Hallelujah. You know, I have a lot of crazy people here. They're as crazy as their father. This morning, I wanted to talk to God. Tell God, God, I refuse to be the same. I'm pressing on the upward way. Tell God, God, lift me up and let me stand. New heights I'm gaining. Sing it, son. Living every day. Still praying. Feet on higher ground. Lord.